Your Bibles to the book of Hebrews and the 13th chapter. You have a blessing today that the appearance of the stage up here is much improved over what you normally have to look at. The beautiful flowers have been provided by the Pavoyskis. We appreciate that after their daughter Lauren's wedding. And so hopefully the sight that you look on today will be a little more pleasing than it normally is. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a passage that I'm sure is familiar to many of you. It trips easily across our lips, but it should rest profoundly within our hearts. It says so much. We really don't know who wrote that verse. Some believe that the Apostle Paul is the author of the book of Hebrews. Others believe that Barnabas wrote this letter. Still others suggest that no, it was Dr. Luke who wrote this epistle to the Hebrews. If it's not Luke or Paul or Barnabas, I think it might have been Junior West. But we really don't know who wrote this letter, and particularly for our study this morning, who wrote this verse. But it is a verse that clearly comes as the product of divine inspiration. And whoever penned that verse did so under the guidance of God the Spirit. It's a verse that we might call a bookend verse. In Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 12, the writer says of God the Father, "You are the same." Speaking, of course, of God's constancy as being God, because He is divine. He is unchanging. He remains the same. But then as he comes to the end of this letter in chapter 13 and verse 8, writing of Jesus Christ, he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is a verse then that declares the deity of Jesus. It equates the nature of Jesus as being the same with the Father, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is almost, this verse is almost an exposition of the statements of the Scriptures in the Old Testament when God said of Himself, identifying Himself as I am. Statements where He says, I am the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says of Jesus, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is declaring that He is also this one who is divine, this deity. It declares not only the deity of Jesus, it declares the constancy of Jesus. It says Jesus is the same. He is constant. But this is not only a bookend verse, we might also call it a linchpin verse, in that it really brings the book of Hebrews together. We have to remember that the people who first received this letter, Hebrew Christians, were undergoing a great deal of changes in their lives, a change in their faith. Everything was being altered. The law for them was changing from that which was given through Moses to that which is given through Christ. The priesthood was changing from that which came through Aaron to Jesus Christ as their high priest. The temple was changing from that which they were familiar with in the Old Testament economy to the temple that the New Testament, the new doctrine, the gospel declared that the Lord's church would be His temple. I've told you before, the Old Testament tells us that God had a temple for His people. The New Testament tells us that God has a people for His temple. And that was changing. And these people were having to adjust to these changes in faith. The sacrifices were changing from the ineffectual sacrifices of blood, the blood of bulls and goats that could not take away sin, to the blood of Jesus, God's own Son, that was sufficient to remove the sins of men and women. Nothing was the same anymore. And yet, in the midst of all that, the author declares, there is a constant. God the Father is the same. Jesus the Son is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Back in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, and in verse 26, we see where he begins to talk about some things that other things that were changing. He talks in this 12th chapter about a world, a created world, where change is stamped upon everything earthly. He says in verse 26, His voice shook the earth then. But now He has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I mean, everything about this world that we live in speaks of change. Seasons change. We move from the lazy, hazy days of summer into the crisp autumn, the changing of the leaves and the coolness of the breeze. Cultures change. If you don't think that cultures change, pull aside one of the teachers here who has taught for a number of years and ask them of the kind of problems that they deal with now as opposed to years ago. I heard the story of a teacher who received a note from a parent that said, Dear Mrs. Smith, please excuse Johnny for whistling in class. He will not do it again. Signed, Whistler's mother. But what kind of problems are had in classrooms today? It's not a kid whistling every once in a while. Drugs, guns on campuses, violence. Oh, cultures change. We change. We don't remain the same. I'm told that every 5 years, every cell of our body has gone through a change. A completely new cell has been replaced in every instance. If you don't think that you're changing, go to your high school reunion and look at all the old people there. We change. This created world changes. But I'll tell you, this world isn't the only thing that changes. You know, even in churches, there are changes that do occur. In the wider context of this Hebrew letter and that 13th chapter, we see that the writer speaks about changes that could be experienced in groups of God's people. In verse 7 and verse 9 of chapter 13, he says, Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Then drop down to verse 9, he says, Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. He's talking here about some changes that can happen within churches. He talks about acknowledging, recognizing, taking note of, and imitating those that have led you. But leaders of congregations change. He talks about those that have declared God's word, being aware of them, taking note of them, listening to them. But preachers change. Churches change preachers. You may have heard about the fellow who was leaving from the congregation he had been preaching at, and he had made the announcement of that. And afterwards, one of the ladies came up to him and she said, "Oh, I hate to hear that we're changing preachers." And he said, "Well, don't worry about it, sister." Said, the next fellow will be a better preacher. She said, "Yeah, huh, that's what they said when you came." Well, but preachers do change. The leadership of congregations do change. The things that congregations will listen to can change. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, he says. Don't change the message, but you stay with that message that was delivered to you. But congregations can fail to observe that. The message of the book of Hebrews, though, is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. Just a few things I want you to notice with me about what the author of Hebrews says about Jesus in these three regards: yesterday, today, and forever. There is the yesterday Jesus he speaks of. He talks about this yesterday Jesus, and in doing so, I believe probably has in mind the sum total of his past, this Jesus that we know of. But primarily, the days of his flesh. In Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 7, he writes there about the days of his flesh, the days of Jesus' flesh. But we understand, I trust, that there was a pre-fleshly existence of this one who came into the world and was named Jesus. This Jesus, the Christ, existed before he ever came to Bethlehem. He existed as God. He was God. He was in the form of God. He was equal with God. The book of Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he thought it not a thing that was inappropriate to be considered equal with God, because he was God. That was his existence in that pre-fleshly time. But he left that home in heaven. He, again in Philippians 2, took on himself the form of a servant, the form of a human. And he entered this world. He came into this world named Jesus, identified as the Christ. But still, he was God. But as John declares him in John, as Isaiah declares him in Isaiah chapter 7, he is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel. Primarily, the Jesus of yesterday, as the New Testament describes him and discusses him, is the Jesus of the days of his flesh, the Jesus of the incarnation. And we need to know that Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday. But we need to know the Jesus of yesterday, do we not? We sing a song oftentimes. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Now the point is, there is a story of Jesus. There is this story of the Jesus of yesterday. And Jesus spoke to us about how we can come to know this Jesus, how we can become familiar with him and the story of his life upon this earth. In John, the 5th chapter and the 39th verse, he was speaking to a group of Jews. He said to them, "You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." If you want to know this Jesus of yesterday, the only way that you're going to come to know him is by consulting the Scriptures and learning there about this Jesus. This Jesus who, as an infant, scared a Hebrew king. Who, as a boy, confounded the doctors of the law as they sat around the temple and discussed the Scriptures. this Jesus who grew to be a man and confounded and perplexed a Roman governor about what to do with him. You and I need to know this Jesus who on the cross conquered sin. We need to know this Jesus, this yesterday Jesus who went into a tomb and there he defeated death. May I put a plug in here for our Bible classes? Adults and young people alike. Here's where you can learn more about this story. You can learn more about the yesterday Jesus. I'm not saying that's the only place that you can, and it's certainly not the only place that you should be learning about this yesterday Jesus. But it is one place that you can learn. Valuable lessons will be taught there, and you would do well to be there to receive them. Oh, we need to remember and we need to know the days of His flesh. This is the yesterday Jesus. But the writer speaks here not only about the Jesus who is the same yesterday, he also talks about this Jesus who is the same today. This Jesus of yesterday is also the Jesus of today. You know, many people will tell us, oh, you know, that story about Jesus, that's just out of date. That's an ancient character, one who is no longer in touch with the realities of life. He's out of date. He's out of touch. He's out of style. But I'm here to tell you that the Jesus of today is every bit as much relevant as He was when He was the yesterday Jesus, when He was in the flesh, walking among men and women, touching them, healing them, teaching them. I'm telling you that He is not only the Jesus of yesterday, He is the Jesus of today. He is the Savior who is never irrelevant, but is exactly what we need today. According to the book of Hebrews, today He is our faithful and merciful High Priest. Today He is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Today He lives to make intercession on our behalf. Is it your concept of Jesus that He came to do His work of sacrificing Himself upon the cross and having completed that and ascended back into heaven, that His activity and His work on your behalf and on my behalf, His relevancy to us, was completed back then and that He's no longer active or really in touch and relevant to my day-to-day life today? Is that your concept only of the yesterday Jesus? No, He is the same today. He is the Jesus who continues to work on our behalf. There was a book written a number of years ago that was titled Our Man in Heaven, in which the author described, from the book of Hebrews, described the work that goes on by Jesus on our behalf now, making intercession for us, being touched by the feelings of our infirmities. When you suffer, when you're disappointed, when you're hurt, do you think He doesn't take note? Is He only the Jesus of history, or is He the Jesus of today? Well, obviously, what the Hebrew writer says to us is, He is the Jesus of today. And because of that, we need to understand that He speaks today. Not with the voice that He spoke when He commanded the storms to be stilled and He calmed the seas of the water. Oh, but He speaks today through those scriptures that we said He pointed others to and said that they testify, they bear witness of me. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said to them that if a man was spiritual, then let him recognize that the things that we teach are the commandments of the Lord. That what we are declaring, he says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, that what we have declared is not the words of men, but it is, in fact, the Word of God. He speaks today through His Scriptures. Now, I'm very confident that if I told you, and you had reason to believe that I was trustworthy in this, that Jesus was going to be here next Sunday and He was going to speak, that probably every single one of you would clear your agendas and you'd be here. I'll tell you what, David wouldn't be in India. I'd send a message to those guys that are already over there. Sorry, fellas, I won't be there. But do we understand and realize that He does speak to us? Not just next Sunday, not just this Sunday. Every day He is speaking to us through His Word. We but have to open it up and study it. I mean, do your parents, do your Bible class teachers, do the elders, does the preacher really need to cajole and maybe try to get you through feelings of guilt to pry open that Bible and read what Jesus is saying today? He speaks today because He is the Jesus of today. He saves today because He is the Jesus. He still forgives sins today. He still removes guilt today. His power to do this has not been extinguished. You remember in reading the gospel accounts of Jesus' life in the flesh, that yesterday Jesus, in Luke chapter 5, for instance, when He had come into a town and people brought all of the sick to Him, and some friends brought a man who was lame, who couldn't walk, they brought him there. They couldn't get into the house where Jesus was. They went up on the roof, they opened a hole in the roof, and they lowered their friend who was lying upon a stretcher. They lowered him down in front of Jesus. Jesus marveled at the great faith being exhibited. And He said, "Today, your sins are forgiven." And people who heard that were aghast, at least some were. Who is this who would forgive sins? Well, only God can forgive sins, they rightly reasoned. And so in order to demonstrate to them that He had the right, the power, the abilities to forgive sin, then Jesus told the man to rise up and walk. Now, what I'm telling you is the same Jesus today forgives sins. And the message of the Bible over and over again to us is, it doesn't matter what sins you're guilty of. He's powerful enough to forgive them, to cleanse the guilt from you, if you'll just come to Him and let Him do so. He's the Jesus of today, and that means He saves today. And He's also the Jesus of today, which means He satisfies today. He understands the needs of our souls, and He still answers those needs. That's exactly what the Hebrew writer says when he talks about that He knows he has the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what our needs are. We're not preaching a dead Jesus, but we're preaching a living Savior who speaks to us, who saves us, and who satisfies us if we'll allow Him. He's the Jesus of yesterday and the Jesus of today. But He's also the Jesus of forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love the way one version expresses that idea of forever. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yea, and into the ages. It is an ascending order, reaching this glorious climax in the ceaseless ages of eternity, that Jesus who was, Jesus who is the Jesus who is to come. It has been said in this way, what Jesus was, that He is. What Jesus is, that He shall ever be. He is the forever Jesus, the perennial Jesus. This was the hopeful message that the Hebrew Christians were receiving. It was the message that the angel of God spoke to the apostles. In Acts, the first chapter, the 11th verse, you remember, Jesus was ascending back into the heavens. As they were watching Him ascend, leaving them, an angel of God spoke to the apostles and said to them, you know, why are you looking up into the heavens? Why are you looking upon this same Jesus who's now leaving will come again. This same Jesus, they were assured. There shall be a return of Jesus. The same Jesus. The Jesus who is the Jesus forever is the one who was the Jesus for today. He is the Jesus of yesterday. He is the Jesus who will come again. But not only will there be a return, because He is this forever Jesus, there also will be a reign. That is, He is going to reign after His return. Over in Luke, the first chapter, in the 33rd verse, the angel of the Lord was speaking about the birth of Jesus. And he says concerning Him that He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom will have no end. His kingdom was established upon His death, His burial, and His resurrection from the grave. But it will not end. Even when this earth comes to an end, the reign of Jesus as King over His kingdom will continue. It continues into the ages. He will be the Jesus not only who returns and who reigns, but He will be the Jesus who receives us. And we shall abide with Him through those ceaseless ages. The Apostle Paul writes a wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the resurrection of Christians. And in that, he speaks about, as it were, an anthem, a song that all believers will sing upon the return of the Lord. Those that have died in Christ, the Bible tells us, will be raised up. Those that are living in Christ, who will be gathered up to Him as He comes again, the living will not precede those that have died in Christ, but those that are dead in Christ will be raised up. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul expresses it this way, as it were, as a song that could be sung. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, those that are in Christ who have died, they will not be conquered by death. No, they will overcome death. There will be a victory for them over death. They'll be raised up. They say, oh, death, you didn't keep me. But those that are alive at the coming again of Christ, who will be caught up to meet Him as well. Oh, there's no sting of the grave either. The grave doesn't take them. They have lived until the coming again of the Lord. And so they are caught up with the song as well. It's a two-part song. I don't know which it'll be for me, if it will be raised from the dead, or if it will be having lived until the time of His coming again. I don't know what it will be for you, so we just need to learn both parts of the song. Not conquered by death. Not kept by the tomb. We needed a Jesus who would deal with the sins of our past. We need a Jesus who will provide for the needs of our present, and a Jesus who will receive us to Him forever. I love the song that Jake led us in a moment ago. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. You know what that means? It means everything about this life is changing. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal, things that don't change. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Are you holding to His hand? He's the only constant that you can have in your life. If you would take His hand this day, give your obedience to His gospel, He will save you because He is the Jesus of today who continues to save from sins. If you believe He's God's Son and will turn away from those sins, confess Him this day and be baptized, washing the guilt of your sins away, you'll be saved. You can continue to hold His hand as you make your way through this ever-changing world, knowing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yea, and into the ages. Won't you come to Him while we stand and sing?